Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
So I want to just welcome everybody and say, you know, this is a special time, special season in God. And we're making the most of it because we're going to have time with God that is unlike any other time with God. Amen. And so we love you. And we're excited about meeting with the Lord tonight. And I feel like the gentleness of the Lord tonight. I feel His gentleness and His peace. He loves His people. God loves His people. And all day He's been showing me a shepherd with his sheep. All day He's been showing me a shepherd and how He cares for every sheep. He cares for every sheep that has a problem or got in trouble or is struggling. He cares so, so, so much. And I can feel the peace and the glory of the Lord upon us. So we just welcome you. And I'm just going to open up with a word of worship and prayer. Father, we give you all the glory. First, Lord, just like in your word, we just acknowledge that you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And there is no other. The Bible says there is no other God but the one true God. We thank you that, you know, even though we were not children of the covenant, because of Jesus Christ, Yeshua, HaMashiach, the Messiah, that we were allowed to be grafted in to the people of covenant. We're so thankful. We're thankful for you, what you did, thankful for your word, and we're thankful for the blood of Jesus. And tonight, Father, I pray that even though there may be physical distance between us, there will be zero distance between anyone that comes in. I pray that we as a family will get to come before you. Sir, you said to come in to the Holy of Holies, into the secret place, the Most High. Come in to the Holy of Holies by a new and living way. And that's our covenant right. And so tonight I ask that all of us, everyone who comes in this page, whether it's for 5 minutes or for the whole time, that we'll be able to enter right in before you and worship you and hear what you're saying to us. And most of all, that we will receive your peace, your word and your blessings in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So I thought I would do a few songs of worship. I'm just going to do a short worship session. And the reason is, you know, the other day I was actually sitting in the car. I was in a forest preserve and I was waiting for someone. And I was singing to the Lord, just singing in the car and just singing a song He gave me a few years ago. He gave me this song a few years ago. And I was just singing it to the Lord, and about the third time through the Lord, the third time through the song, the presence of the Lord just came in the car. It just came in, and it was like I was no longer here, but I was there. And that's what we desire, isn't it? Just to hang out with the Lord who loves us, and just to fellowship with Him. Not always to receive something, but just to love Him and be accepted. The Bible says you are accepted in the Beloved. That's what it says. So hallelujah. I'm not used to singing on camera, but I'm going to give it a whirl. So hallelujah.
Oh,
don't have to strive. You don't have to worry, stress. You don't have to do any of that. Sometimes all you got to do to receive is just enter His rest. Jesus did is freely available. It's really yours legally, but sometimes getting it from there to here requires entering His rest. That's why Paul said labor, labor to enter His rest. Become an expert at the rest of God, at the peace of God. Then when everyone around you is running around like Chicken Little, saying the sky is falling, and trying to warn you and fear you and all stress you, you'll be able to just sink into His rest and know God's got me. God's got my back. He's got me. He's got my food and water. He's got my bills. He's got my company. He's got my business. He's got my job. He's got me. No matter what happens, He's going to take care of me. He's a good shepherd. You know, the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. Shall not want. That means I will not have any lack. But you know what? A sheep that doesn't follow the shepherd, they might lack. A shepherd leads and guides us to what? Food and water. Everything we need, a shepherd leads and guides us. So we're not to be off ignoring Him or not listening to Him. You know what the Bible says? My sheep know my voice. The voice of a stranger they will not follow. And what does that mean? You'll never lack. Shepherd and mine. So this is a song. One time a few years ago, actually, two friends and I were sitting in this room, this very room, and we were praying, and we prayed quite a long time, and I heard this song, and it's called Soak Me in the Spirit. And it means, like, let me come into your presence in such a way, for so deep into your presence that I'm kind of marinating or soaking in your goodness and your presence. Because you know what? That's where you hear the best. Sometimes people say, I want to hear from God. Well, really, the Word is the best place. But another place is to let Him soak you or marinate you in the Spirit. So...
Take me to the temple.
You know, the Bible talks about the Holy of Holies, says the veil was torn forever. Forever opened, you know? That veil was what separated us from God, because at that time, He didn't conceal, we weren't worthy, we're sinners. But when Jesus died, when He was on the cross, there was a great ripping sound of that veil. And God was saying, it said it was torn from top to bottom. That veil was torn from top to bottom, and it can never be put back together again. And what was God saying? He was saying, come in. The Bible says, come in to the Holy of Holies by a new and living way. It's not, we don't come in because in our flesh we're worthy of ourselves. But we come in because He's worthy and He is righteous. And He has given us as a free gift, those of us who believe in Him, those of us who place our hope in Him, He's given us, the Bible said, His own righteousness, that we could come in freely anytime. Isn't that amazing? You say, oh, but I bumbled and I stumbled today. It says, come freely. I made a mistake, come freely. I need deliverance, come freely. I have a bad habit, come freely. Where do you think you will find freedom? Where do you think you will find deliverance from an addiction or a problem or sin? Yeah, it's in that place. It's in fellowship with the Father. Hallelujah. Okay, He told me to pick some three songs. I'm going to be obedient. Amen. Wonderful. You're going to see perfect love. That's what you're going to see. You're going to see perfect love. Isn't that amazing how much he loves you? You know, Jesus really loves his people. And, you know, as I just want to give every believer. I want to give them what he has given me. Every lost person too. But when I see believers struggle and hurt and wounded and in pain, I see people that are really, you know, they love Jesus with all their heart too. You know, they're not in sin. They're people who love Jesus very deeply, but they're struggling and they're wounded and they're hurting. You know, there's one thing to be said for being older. And that's that you've had a lot of years to go, you know, go around the barn. You know, you've had a while to walk with God and figure some things out. And when I was young in the Lord, I was struggling. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't understand the ways of God very well. I loved him with all my heart. I was doing the best I knew. But there were some things I didn't understand. And if I could just give you the package, Jesus himself longs for his children to walk in all that he died for us to have. He's already bought and paid for it. And so please leave behind, you know, cross over the Jordan, will you? Leave behind in the wilderness the idea of begging God to do stuff he's already promised you that he's died for you to have already. He wants you to get a real revelation that if it says it's yours in the Bible, it's yours. Legally, by spiritual law, by covenant right, it already belongs to you. And so you don't beg God for it. He's already done it. What you do is enter his rest, thank him for it, worship him, and receive it. Quote the scripture to him. Really what I'm doing is reminding myself, God actually doesn't need reminding. Well, what I'm doing is I'm reminding myself, it says in your word, it says in Mark 11, all things whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe you have received it and you shall have it. And so what I do is I thank God, I worship him for it. I remind him of his word, actually reminding myself of his word. I speak it and I speak it again. You know what? Sometimes, especially during this season, be very careful how you speak. Because your emotions, now the whole earth, listen, this is going to sound strange, but if you know the word of God, you know that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat the fruit thereof. You know this. A lot of you already know that. But sometimes we say we know it, but, and then we begin to talk about some of the things. And the first, I'm going to tell you, all the earth listens when you speak. Okay? The earth was designed to obey the word of man. Did you know that? The heavens, even the heavens of the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the children of men. Isn't that amazing? So angels, devils, and the earth itself actually listens to what Christians are saying, what believers are saying. So be careful what you say. But let me tell you the number one thing that listens to what you say, and that's your emotions. So during this season, you get to control whether you're happy or joyful. You get to control whether you're sad or scared or defeated or lonely. And I know it may take some discipline if you're not used to doing this. It took me some learning. You know, it took some learning to change the way I say things. But if you don't know what else to say, it's going to be okay. Say, it's going to be okay. God's got this. The shepherd has me. My Savior has me. He'll take care of me. You know, and I know there's people that are watching right now and you're feeling tentative. You know, you're feeling like you're not in outright fear, but, you know, oh, what about the job? What about the finance? What about the virus? Blah, 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 blah. You know, and the enemy's going to throw stuff at us. And, you know, before the end of the year, I believe it was in December, the Father began to impress me that for the body of Christ and for a lot of us as individuals, there was a season change. And it's important to understand the process of a season change. Because if you don't understand it, you'll be thrown for a loop when it happens. Okay? So I'm going to give you two examples of a season change. One, in my life, when God began to teach me about it, I had a friend that was very, very close to me, and I was going through a very difficult time. And this friend was virtually carrying me in prayer. I was at a place, this was back in the days of very difficult times for me. And this woman carried me in prayer. I mean, she prayed literal hours and hours for me. I wouldn't be alive. I wouldn't be sitting here. Wouldn't be sharing if it wasn't for that lady. She kept me alive with her prayer. And one day, and we had such a connection in the spirit that God had done, that it nothing, literally nothing could happen to me that that lady didn't know it. God had her, you know, because God knew what I was, you know, God knows who you are and knows what you're called to do. Some of you are called to do some things in the future. There's some things in your future, and right now you have some stuff to live through. I had to live through some stuff to get here. And that woman was a part of keeping me alive, to be honest with you, keeping me in God and protected, because Satan tried to take me out. And so we were very connected and very close friends, but I didn't have to call her and tell her what was going on. She knew. In fact, that's how we made friends. She was a virtual stranger. She went to my church. I just knew who she was. I didn't know anything about her. She called my house at 10 at night. I'll never forget this as long as I live. She said, I don't know what's going on over there, but she said, God has had me on my face for, I think she said, 6 hours. She'd been weeping and travailing, knowing that something had dreadful, a devastation had happened in my life that would set off a course of events of where Satan tried everything he could do to destroy me. And God hooked her to me for 4 years. Now, what I want to say is at the end of that 4 years, suddenly, out of nowhere, I felt an unhook. And I didn't understand it, but I felt in the spirit somehow God had unhooked us. And I knew, she told me, we talked, but I knew even by the unhooking that God was disconnecting her. He was actually reassigning her to another person's life to carry them. That's her, you know, intercessors are some of the most important people in the world. Don't ever, you know, don't ever look down on an intercessor. You won't always understand them, but they have a job. It's so important, and all of us are called to intercession. I have my beginnings as a prophetic intercessor. Everything you see comes out of that. Huge believer in prayer. But she was assigned to another person, and I was a little shaken by this. I said, Lord, you know, I've relied so heavily on her prayers and her friendship. And he said, nothing has changed in the friendship. You'll be friends as long as you live, and we are. But one thing that did change was there was a season change, and God wants some of you to know this. And this is prophetic. Again, before the end of the year, God started telling me there's a season changing for the body of Christ and for a lot of us as individuals. And a season change, what it means, it doesn't mean that there was anything wrong and God is ending it because it was wrong. It means it's a new season. Like there's nothing particularly wrong with winter, but when it's time for spring, it's time for spring. There's nothing wrong with summer, but when it's time for fall, fall comes, and it's a change of season. So God wants you to know if you're in a season change, and I think all of us are in the global sense, there's some things changing, shifting. And if you're stuck in the old season, to be honest, you will have stress, you'll have fear. Sometimes you'll be clutching the old thing, trying to get that to happen, because sometimes God told you to do that thing. I had one situation, a thing God told me to do for 10 years. I mean, he diligently told me. He was very, very, very firm about telling me over and over for 10 years there was a certain thing I was to do. And it was so the word of the Lord that I thought it would do it the rest of my life. And one day, at almost the end of 10 years, he said, okay, now we're going to do something else. Do you know, I was so married to that that instruction from God, I couldn't hear the new one. And what God is saying is, it's not the same kind of lifestyle right now. This is a season, and by the way, this season will end. But I'm going to tell you something. I feel like we're in a place very similar to Abraham. When God talked to Abraham, in his day and in his culture, the entire culture, what you did was you grew up and you apprenticed what your father was doing. Your dad apprenticed you, and whatever he did, that's what you were going to do. So you didn't have to go find your major in college. You knew exactly what your trade was going to be because it's whatever your dad did. Well, Abraham's dad was an idol maker, but God called Abraham to do something else. And so God says to Abraham, he says, leave this place, leave your father's house. You know that most Christians today, when they hear a word that flies in the face of their culture, or how they've been raised or what they're so sure is right. We have to be very careful not to have an opinion before God. Because when God tells you to do something, you need to learn how to say, okay, we're switching things up. And so Abram had to do something that nobody did, Abram, at that point. And think of what God said to him. He said, you're going to leave this place. He said, you're going to go to a place I will show you. I'd be thinking, okay, what direction do I go? Because you didn't show me, you know, and when are you going to show me? But you know what God was doing? It's what he's doing right now with the body of Christ. He's teaching us day by day. What do we know? Even on the news, you watch the news, they say, well, they ask questions. Well, when will this happen? Well, we'll know more in a week. We'll know more in 2 weeks. Because we're in a season where God is trying to get us to understand the walk of Abraham. By the way, the Bible says, if you be Christ, you are Abraham's seed. Which, if you don't know much about Abraham, that is a huge and glorious promise. Because the promise, that the blessing of Abraham has come upon the Gentiles. Most people watching me were probably like me. I wasn't born into a Jewish home. But the Jews had a covenant with God. And because of Abraham, if we be Christ, he said we're Abraham's seed. That's a huge blessing, in case you don't know. I'm not really preaching on this, but if you don't know that, that means the blessing is yours. The covenant blessing is yours and it belongs to you. Isn't that amazing? God's blessing is upon you. So as we've entered this season, the first thing I want to say to you is don't worry about how things were or how they will be. All you need to worry about is what you're doing in this season. And so I went to the Lord and I said, tell me about this season. Tell me about this time. A lot of people are having more time on their hands. Tell me about this time. And I felt like the Lord showed me, not once, but over and over, I kept having a sense of David when he was a shepherd boy. You know, he was just a shepherd boy. And he wasn't with a lot of people. He was with his sheep. And it seems to me like when you read 1 Samuel, it doesn't seem like his family had a huge respect for him. He was like a little kid. Ah, he'll go take care of that. You remember Samuel came. God told him to anoint one of the sons of that family. And some of them were really tall and no, it says noble looking, you know, these great big guy. You know how sometimes we're really impressed with someone's outside. But you know, the Bible says that the Lord said, I'm not looking on the outward appearance, I'm looking on the heart. He doesn't look at our outsides. You know, we can impress people with our spirituality, but I'm going to tell you something. God's looking at our spirit, man. And we can put makeup on our outside and a fancy outfit or a nice outfit, but we should be putting on the clothes of Christ, especially during the season. So David, during that season, when nobody was looking, David was worshiping the king. And we know this, we know he was a worshiper because when Saul, remember later on, Saul began to be demonized. He was demonized, he had problems, he was a kind of a problem himself. And a man came to him and said, I know of a man, he's a Bethlehemite, he's, you know, goodly to look upon, and he's skillful, he's a skillful musician. And also they sent for David, actually it says that David became Saul's armor bearer, and Saul loved him, at least for a time he loved him. And when David would play skillfully, when he would worship God, the demons couldn't stand it. You know, something we've seen is when you worship, the demons don't, we don't have to deal with them too much. You know, we learned early on in our meetings, if we just go into the place of the presence and worship God, we don't have too many troubles, you know, with devils because they don't like the presence. The angels do. Lots of angels would come, but the demons don't, they don't like it. You know, that's the truth. And so sometimes, you know, people are looking for a formula to hear God, but I feel like this season, you know, David would never, I don't believe David would have ever been able to be a king or be a great king if he hadn't been a great shepherd boy and a great worshiper when nobody was looking. You know, David talked about, I will walk before the Lord in my house. He talked about what he would do when he was alone. And I'm persuaded that right now, you know, this is a time for us to decide who we really are. It's easy to say in a busy time, oh gosh, if I just had the time, you know, I'd worship more, I'd praise more, I'd read the Bible more, I'd study for. But now, guess what? You've got the time. And you know what? Somebody kind of jokingly posted this thing that, you know, I found out that all the stuff I said I'd do, I don't really want to do, you know. So there's a test during this season, but it's also the greatest opportunity I think we've ever had. And I think that this is the church. I think this what this is the church getting an opportunity to be like David in the alone time, the nobody's looking at me time, who I am when nobody's around time, how do I worship when there's nobody to hear me or see me. I have a friend who puts together an hour. I think this is the coolest thing. She puts together an hour's worth of music, and she said she doesn't do it at the church that she goes to. But what she does is she plays it in her home so she can dance before the Lord. Isn't that awesome? See, and the Lord sees that. He looks on our heart, not our outward appearance. And you know that what you do when you're alone, the Bible says if you go in and pray and you shut the door, nobody's looking, God rewards you openly. So when you see somebody moving and stuff out in the earth, you know, out on the streets or on a platform, you see that stuff. Listen, they didn't get that in public. They got that in the season of being alone with God, with their door shut, nobody looking, walking up and down and praying, or up and down and praising. You know, when I wake up in the morning now, I like to worship God, and the way I like to do it is I like to proclaim who He is. I mean, He knows who He is, but I just like for the devil to know that I know who He is, who God is. And I say, God, You are the Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Father of Israel, Lord of the covenant. You are the one and only God, and there is no other gods before You. And Your Son, Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, He came in the flesh. I like to say who He is. He's the name above every name, and He's the only one I'm going to serve, and I will serve no other. I like to say that. You know, when I say that, I can feel the presence of God attend me. That sounds funny, but God loves worship, and He loves people who get the covenant, especially, listen, if you're a Gentile, this is how to get the favor. Do you remember the woman? She was not of Jewish descent, and she had a daughter who's demon-possessed, and she begged Jesus to help, and Jesus refused. It was interesting to me. Boy, he wouldn't even deal with her. He said that healing is the children's bread. What he meant is he was here for the children of Israel at that point, you know, because He had not yet released it to the Gentiles. And she gave this answer, and we have to watch, always watch what makes Jesus happy, what makes Him respond, and what makes Him mad. When you read the scriptures, always look at what makes Him glad, what makes Him mad. And you'll learn a lot about how to do life and how to please the Lord. And so He said, well, healing is the children's bread. And she said, yeah, but even the little dogs get to eat the crumbs from the children's table. He said, for that answer, go your way, your daughter's made whole. Why did He like that answer? Think about it. He liked that answer because she just acknowledged, I get it. I'm not the children of the covenant, but Israel is. I'm giving honor to them. They're the real kids. But hey, can't I have a little crumb? See, she didn't go in. Most, you know what most people today would do? What do you mean I'm a dog? I'm not a dog. You know what? I'm not good enough? See, Jesus was dealing with covenant. He had to do it in order or He would have been unrighteous. He had to come for Israel first, the children of the covenant, because that was the promise. And then He released it through His blood. He released it to the Gentiles as well. Thank God. Thank God He released it to us. But you see what happened there? Do you see what pleased Him? What pleased Him was she understood covenant, even though she was not a member of covenant at that time. Isn't that amazing? So by that answer, by acknowledging the children of covenant, she actually pleased Jesus. And for that, He said, for that answer, go your way. I mean, He was pleased with that answer, wasn't He? So we have to look at what's pleasing to Him and also take a look sometimes at what bugs Him. You can kind of read in the scriptures, there's certain things that really bug Him. But this is a day where we're coming into the peace of God. And one of the scriptures that Jesus gave me early on, and it's one of the things I'm the most thankful for in my life, Jesus gave me a living anointing of His peace. It is with me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I can't remember, honestly, it's been years and years, decades and decades since He gave it to me. I don't know the moment that it came. I just know that I entered into a place where I can always have peace, always. It doesn't matter what's going on. I can have peace. And you know what Jesus said? He said, peace I leave with you, my peace. He said, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. He gave us that peace. It's an anointing. It's something you can live in and walk in. Do you know that the Holy Spirit, He's a big part of, he's that peace. He is that peace to me. He is truth to me. He is peace to me. He is the voice of God to me. And as I fellowship with him, as I worship Jesus, see, the Holy Spirit helps us worship. We can't do that right, can we? We can't even confess our sins right. I ask the Holy Spirit to help me do everything. I don't speak well in my own strength, and yet the Holy Spirit will give me some words to say. You know, by the grace of God, he'll give me something to say, even to the Lord. Sometimes I don't know what to say. We know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession, right? He'll give us what to do, how to say it. Sometimes a nuance. Sometimes I want to encourage you to pray a lot during this season. Pray a lot during this season. If you know how to pray in the Spirit a lot. Because here's what will happen. Some of you have been putting off learning how to pray in the Spirit better. What you want to do, see, the more you pray, the more, what is the word I'm looking for? You become more sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is doing and saying. You become sensitive to what's going on in God's realm. You see, we're used to, from the day we're born, you know, we come out screaming and crying, right? The minute they slap us, they weep, wah, you know, we want milk, we want this, what we want, it's all about us. We learn how to operate in the world realm. That's normal to us. You get a bill, you pay a bill, you maybe you have a job or you whatever. We learn how to operate in the world realm, so a lot of us are experts at that. But that is not how things operate in the realm of the Spirit, and God wants that to become the new normal for his children, because that's where the victory is. See, Jesus was a man of the Spirit. He was a man of the Holy Ghost. He was led by the Spirit. And the Bible says, those who are led by the Spirit of God shall be called the sons of God. Why? Because they'll look like Jesus. They'll manifest like Jesus. They'll operate in the way Jesus did. They'll do things that people say, why is he doing that? Why is he making mud? Why is he spitting? You know, why is he putting that on somebody? Why did he do it that way? Because he's being led of the Spirit. Jesus said, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself. That's amazing. He's saying, I've limited myself to be just like you. I can't do a thing. That's what he said. This is a quote from the scripture. And he said, Jesus himself said it about himself. Son of Man can do nothing of himself, but only what he sees his Father in heaven doing. So he had to maintain a continual link with his Father. He had to maintain an open heaven. Can I say to you that that's your covenant right? If you're a born again child of God, if you don't have the Holy Ghost or you don't know for sure, first of all, let me just back up in case anyone's on here and you don't know for sure that you're born again. Jesus said, you must be born again. Unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How will you hear from God or know his direction or live through this season or, you know, how are you going to do it? If you don't have an open heaven, you can't. Unless a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom. That means if you're born again, you can, doesn't it? So I'm gonna urge you right now, if you're not born again, just say this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that you are the Son of God. You came in the flesh. You died on a tree. You took my sins. You were raised from the dead. You are the name above every name. I acknowledge you as Lord. Say that. If you meant it from your heart, then there's a transaction that happens and you're born again. You're born of the Spirit, not just of this world, but you're born of God, the Bible says, born from above. Well, now, the next thing that you need to make sure you do is make Jesus Lord. If I'm talking to somebody and you know you had a born again experience or you said the prayer and maybe even meant it, but there are certain areas of your life you held back, you need to make him Lord of all. Because God can only bless what you put in his jurisdiction. So make sure 100% of your life is wholly submitted to him. That means what he decides goes. You say, oh, I don't want to do that. Well, I love you, but you'll have trouble with any area that don't yield to him. That'll be trouble. So make sure every room in your heart is completely Jesus's. Okay? Make sure you've submitted to his lordship. Once you do that, now you just learn how to obey him. So I'm going to share this. In Acts 19, there was some believers. They believed in Jesus. You know, they already knew about Jesus. They believed. But it says the apostles said to them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? So that clearly said it was a second experience. There's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some of you, I know some of you that are posting right now, I know some of you are full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. But if you aren't, I'm going to have you ask the Holy Spirit to come into your heart. Ask the Holy Spirit. Listen, the Holy Spirit will always bring glory to Jesus. But what else does he do? He will mentor you. He will teach you. And I'm talking to somebody, you've been putting it off for years. You've been saying, yeah, sometime when I get time. This is a sad thing, but one lady actually said to me, I'm going through Bible school, and she said, then I figured I'll do the Holly thing. I don't know, you know, I was kind of taken aback. But what she meant was, later on, when I get some time, well, then I'll learn how to hang out with the Holy Ghost. Okay? I'm glad you're going to Bible school, but you know what I'm saying? We need a relationship with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus, and with the Father. And I'm going to say this to you. You won't really, in my opinion, I don't know that you can have a full revelation of the Father or of Jesus without the help of the Holy Spirit, because he's the one that takes us through the Word. He leads us and guides us into truth. So the best thing we can do, spend some time worshiping, spend a lot of time in the Word right now, but also hang out with the Holy Ghost, because what he wants, listen, the Holy Spirit, he's a person, he's not an it. He's a real person. He has feelings. He loves you. You know, Jesus Christ paid a terrible price for us to come into fellowship with the Father, but the Holy Spirit has paid a price too. He's come, and for 2,000 years, he's put up with a church that largely ignores him, disrespects him, doesn't want him. One lady contacted me recently for a prayer session, and then she heard that I spoke in tongues, and that's how often I hear from God. And so she said, I don't want any part of that. And so I wrote her a very loving note, but I felt sorry for her, because what she's doing is rejecting part of the Godhead, you know. And so I don't believe she can come into, you know, how will you get a revelation of God's love for you? By the Holy Ghost. And so the Holy Spirit is the best friend you will ever have. And now's the time to learn to have a relationship with him. You know, and it's just like a relationship with anybody else. How do you get to know him? You hang out together. Go for walks. We're not restricted from that yet. Go for long walks alone with the Holy Spirit. Talk to him. Try to listen to him. Ask him to teach you. Be specific. Ask clear and specific questions. And just watch. He'll get you the answer. You may not hear it in your ear. You may see it when you open the Word. That for years, the way I heard from God more than any other way was I'd ask him a question, and then I'd see it in the Word. I'd ask him a question, and then I'd see it in the Word. Usually within 24 hours, I was blown away that God would talk to humans. Blown away. Because, you know, the first time, could it be coincidence? Maybe. I knew it wasn't. But after enough times, you know that the Holy Spirit is talking to you. And what I want to say to you is that the Holy Spirit, he has a desire in his heart. Do you know that? He loves you, and his desire is to connect you with Jesus in such a oneness, such a closeness, that you become like one. Isn't that amazing? You know, I had a vision years ago. I was battling some sickness. I was, this must have been in the 80s. You can tell I'm a little older. It was in the 80s. And I was battling. I was at work, but I was battling something. And I asked the Lord for some keys. And he gave me some keys to win the battle. And I did win it by the grace of God. God healed me. But one of the things he showed me was he showed me a picture. I'm going to hold my hands up like two hearts. And they were beating. Boom, 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 boom. They were not beating as one. One was a bigger heart. One was a smaller heart. And I knew he was saying, this is God's heart. This is your heart. And as I watched, they were not beating the same, but they grew closer and closer, closer and closer. And pretty soon they melded together and they began to beat like one. Boom, 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 boom. One heart, boom, boom. And you know what? That is a picture of your life. That is the desire of God for you, to come so close to him that his heart becomes one with yours. See, a lot of times people go to classes to learn how to become prophetic, but I'm bothered sometimes because they're trying to learn some sort of formula And sometimes it works, but to be honest, a lot of times those words that they give either are incorrect or they don't pack a lot of punch, okay? Because real words, real prophetic, it's a life. It's a lifestyle. It's not a sentence. You know, it's not a thus says the Lord. It's a lifestyle lived in God, lived with Him, hanging out with Him, being part of His presence, learning how to join our hearts so much with His that you, sometimes you get to a place where you can't tell who said what. And I know that's strange, but I heard Brother Hagin talk about it once. He was on the platform, and he heard a prophecy, a very powerful prophecy. He turned around to see who said it, and he realized that he had said it. What happened there? He had become so close to God, at least in that moment, that God was, you know, God sometimes just overtakes you, you know, and you begin to speak out from Him. And I'm just going to say this, the purpose for me, the purpose of prophecy is really not to prophesy to other people, although that's a nice side benefit. The purpose of a prophetic lifestyle, the purpose for me, I never sought the Lord to hear His voice so that I could speak to other people or tell them what to do or what God is saying. I needed to know what God was saying to me. What are you telling me? I got to do life. How do I do this life? How do I do it right? How do I find my way? Do you want me to live here or there, work here or there? How do you want me to solve this problem? How does that work? You know, your word says this. I mean, how does that work? And so I was seeking the Lord for a prophetic answer for me, but it became a lifestyle. God wants every one of His believers to walk in Him to where that is normal. And I don't want you to say, well, He doesn't talk to me that way. Actually, He does. But the problem is you don't know His voice when you hear it. God speaks to every one of His children, and I think pretty much all the time. But He speaks in a still, small voice. And where is the Holy Spirit? He's on the inside of you. So most of the time, now there are some people who've heard an audible voice. My husband, Edgar, he did hear audible voices. He had heard the voice of God a number of times in his life, but it wasn't every day. But for me, with the Holy Spirit, it's a relationship, and it's a still, small voice. And it's from the inside. And you know what most of us do? Most of us reject it because we think, oh, that was just me. That was just my thought. Or maybe the enemy's trying to trick me. And we do this back and forth kind of thing, not realizing that God is gently trying to tell us something. Now, it is always okay to say, Lord, was that you? I plead the blood of Jesus, you know. Lord, was that you? If it was you, keep telling me until I get it. If it's a big thing, confirm it to me, Lord. Confirm it to me through the word. Confirm it to me in a way that I know that it's you. See, God wants, during this season, He wants you to become an expert in the things of God. That doesn't mean a great theologian. It means a person that knows how to have relationship. You know, I recently read an old book. I was traveling with my sister, and I was in South Carolina. And my sister loves to read, so I knew of this old secondhand bookstore, you know. And, you know, I'd recently gone through a book purge where I had way too many books, way too many books. And so I'd gone through them and gotten a whole bunch of them, you know, out of the house. And so the last thing I wanted to do was buy another book. But I was kind of getting bored because my sister, she could stay in a bookstore for hours, you know, hallelujah, and I'm glad. And I love books. I love to read. And so I was standing there kind of, you know how you go, you stand around on one foot. And I said, Lord, is there a book here that you would have me read? There's this old, beat-up, paperback book, used book. It was by a lady named Ethel Waters. And some of you might remember hearing of Ethel Waters. She was a singer. She spent many years singing in a secular sense and then really got turned on. She loved the Lord. She got turned on and she ended up singing at a lot of Billy Graham crusades. And, you know, as I would read her book, you know, she was no theologian, and she would freely say, I don't know a whole lot, but, you know, as I would read through this book, I would weep. I'd weep and weep and weep, and I'd think, what is wrong with me? You know, she's not saying anything I don't know, but what was happening was, you know, the Spirit of God in me. What I was doing was I was reacting because she had a heart and a relationship where she'd become real close to God, you know. And she had written two books in her life. She wrote this book when she was older, quite old. She had a lot of wisdom, you know. And as I read it, I wept because I thought, here's somebody that spent their life growing in relationship with to the Father by the Holy Spirit to a place where she knew that God would take care of her. And in her old age, she actually had to have help, you know, like a lot of people do. She said, here's what I learned. God will help you. He'll send somebody if you need help. All you got to do is ask. He'll send somebody to help you. And she had all these stories of people who would just show up out of nowhere and help her when she needed something. You see, even though she was older, lived alone, God would always send somebody to help her. And see, I was weeping because that's our God. We have so made too much of a religion out of what should have been a relationship. You want miracles? Miracles come out of relationship. You want prophecy? Comes out of relationship. You want to be a greater prayer warrior? Comes out of relationship. Everything rises and falls on relationship. And so this is relationship. This is what it is. Some of you feel like maybe, and I know I'm not talking to everybody, hopefully all of you are past this, but I still meet up with people a lot of times who feel like, oh, I'm not worthy, or maybe God's mad at me today, or, oh, I kind of blew it. Here's what you do. You go to Holy Spirit and you say, Holy Spirit, will you help me to understand the heart of God? Will you help me to know how God is feeling towards me and help me understand it and help me get free? You know, talk to him like you, if you're a little kid. If you're a little kid and you're with someone older, you know, when you're a small child, you ask childlike questions. And the more childlike you are, the better answers you're going to get, the more answers you're going to get. You know, when we come in, like a lot of people, I know people who can't hear from God and they're kind of a know-it-all. They're very opinionated. They know so much. You know what? When I go before God, I know nothing. I have no opinion because I want to hear from him because he knows more. It doesn't matter how much you know, he knows more. And once you get that, you know, the Bible says any man who thinks he knows anything knows nothing yet as he ought to know. That means the first thing we need to learn is when you go before God, you know nothing. And I do nothing. Zero. There's a lot of hot shots in the body. They think they know some stuff, but you know what? We before God, we really don't know too much, do we? The older we get, the more we realize we need his word, not ours. His knowledge, not ours. His mind, not ours. His healing power, not ours. It's his ability, his grace, his forgiveness, his mercy. You having trouble forgiving somebody? Ask him for his forgiveness to flow through you. It's a much better system. You say, I know I'm supposed to pray, but I just don't feel like it. Honestly, everybody has days like that. I have days like that. I've been praying for years, but I have days where I'll tell you the truth. Sometimes I don't feel it. My flesh doesn't always feel like being spiritual. I'm human. Everybody's human. You know what you do? You go to God and say, you know, I really know that I need to spend some time in prayer today. Could you give me the grace? Could you give me your ability to desire to pray? Or Lord, I got to tackle that project and I sure don't feel like it. Would you help me? Would you give me the grace to do it? You just keep praying and the grace of God will come upon you. Almost like suddenly you're doing it and you don't realize. You're like, oh my goodness, I have this anointing to do this. But it came because you prayed it in. Somebody said, how do I get close to God? Ask him. The questions that you would ask me are the very questions you should be asking him. We're sitting with a friend and having dinner one night and they would ask, well, how do I do this? And I would say, well, you know, what people want is a formula. I'm not going to give you a formula. The formula is go to God and ask him because every time might be a different answer. Well, then they would say, what about this? What do I do with this? I'd say, well, it might be good if you would go to God and see what he says about that. And after about the third or fourth time, I'm like, aren't they going to get this? Aren't they going to see this? And I think finally what they saw was they shouldn't ask anymore because I really only had one answer. And I wasn't trying to be annoying. I wasn't trying to be difficult. I was trying to help them see that a formula will never fix it, but a relationship will. And if you get that, you have everything. If you get a relationship, you have everything you will ever need. Everything. You'll have all the food you ever need, all the toilet paper, hallelujah, all the Costco rotisserie chickens. You'll have what you need, or you'll know where to get it. Because when things, listen, the reason the children of Israel had trouble is that they wouldn't believe God. And they'd seen miracles like most of us have never seen. Miracles. But they didn't really believe him. We need to go like simple children to a shepherd, sheep to a shepherd. Where are we going for water today? Where are we going for food today? What do I do with this today? How do I do that? Some people have been laid off. I know that that can be a little scary. I remember when I was laid off, and I'll tell you, it was like, okay, God, tell me what to do. You know, God gave me the strangest answer. It was an answer I didn't want to hear particularly. But I know enough about him to know he knows what he's doing. And so I said, yes, sir, that's what we'll do. After a few months, I went to him and said, you know, Father, I'm not sure. I need some help. How do I do this in a way that it will be financially viable? He gave me some things to do. And I remember thinking, well, that's kind of weird. How would that do it? But, oh, no, here's what I know. Be like Abraham. Say, okay, I'll take that next step. I don't know where the promised land is, but I'll just go where you tell me today. I'll follow you where you tell me today. And you keep doing that, you will find, listen, you will find a couple things. The journey through a wilderness, the entire purpose of it is to teach you how to follow God when you don't know what tomorrow is. Most Americans, you know, they save up a 401k, and we're so trained by our culture to have all our ducks in order. You know, most of the rest of the world doesn't even know what that means. We're sitting on, right now, we're like sitting in a bed of marshmallows compared to the way the rest of the world has lived for years. We're probably laughing at us. You know, honestly, really? I've been to, you know, several countries. I went to one country, and they wanted to bless me in that year with a nice meal. Do you know that they serve us a meal? They had to go hunting that morning or fishing the next day. They wanted to present Edgar with an honor. And so they wanted to do pardon me if you're kosher, but they wanted to present him with a roasted pig. Do you know they had to go out and catch a wild boar? That's how they lived. They cooked. They were in a home, and by the way, one of the nicer homes in the area we were at. But they cooked on a 2-burner Coleman stove. That's how they lived every day. That's how they live every day. They still live that way. So we really have it very, 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 very good right now. And I know it might be scary to you because you've never maybe been on this frontier before. But what God wants you to know is he is as much a God to you and me as he was to the children of Israel. If he has to make manna, he can make manna. If he has to lead us to water and, you know, we touch it with a branch and it turns into sweet water from bitter, God's able. And what he doesn't want, listen, the only people who didn't enter in to the promised land, according to the New Testament, is they didn't enter because of their unbelief. So we need to be a people that say, you know what, I don't really get where we're going. I can't see past 7 days from now, but this is what I know. God is with me. He's my shepherd, and I will not lack. Amen. He's going to take care of me. Just one last thing. Don't just, you know, the Bible says ask that you may receive, that your joy may be full. So I want to encourage you to be specific when you pray for your needs, but don't just pray for yourself. I feel like the Lord is telling you during this season, pray for your neighbors, pray for your neighborhood, pray for souls, pray for their souls. Pray that during this time, pray for the medical, the doctors and nurses and helpers. Pray for their, you know, I was looking at some stuff from Italy who's pretty besieged right now. And what I saw was that some of the doctors and nurses are just in exhaustion. And because of that, some of them are having trouble. So pray for them. Pray for all, no, not just our country, but pray for our doctors and nurses. Pray for every leader that's trying to make decisions right now. Be a person of prayer right now. And right now is a great time. So I love you very much, and I just, you know, you're like my family. I'm sorry I can't see you face to face. I'm looking at a blank screen with my face on it. Ooh! But I love you, and God loves you. I'm just going to pray a blessing upon you. Father God, I pray right now that your people be blessed with every need met. Father, I pray that you protect them and their families and their loved ones during this season. And I'm recalling that scripture where you said, I know the plans that I have for you to give you a future and a hope. Amen and amen. We love you and we'll talk to you next time. Hallelujah.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.